Hi, Blue Wire listeners. I'm Greg Olson. I'm excited to partner with Blue Wire to bring you TE1, a podcast where I interview the tight ends who have revolutionized the position. Listen in as I have raw, in-depth conversations with the all-time greats like Shannon Sharp, Tony Gonzalez, Travis Kelce, and George Kittle. We'll explore how the tight end position has changed over the last 60 years and what it takes to be the very best. Subscribe to TE1 from Blue Wire Studios today so you're ready for the August premiere.
This is a Web Canopy Studio production.
Everybody, welcome to Dropping the Gloves with John Scott and Tim. Tim's back. And Tim, what's going on? What's happening with your life?
What do you mean?
So, listeners, I'm glad you're here. We might have to have a little intervention with Tim today. You know when you have a schedule, you have a meeting or an appointment? I try to be prompt. Heck, I even try to be 5 minutes late, 5 minutes early. We had a podcast scheduled to tape last night. Tim had to cancel.
Oh, come on. That's not true.
And then we...
You asked to move it to tomorrow, today.
You know when you're talking to someone who's not all there and they're not making sense and you can tell they just, you know, they might be up to something. Well, I was texting with Tim last night and I was like, so are we still taping? He's like, yeah. Yeah, you know, maybe a few minutes late. I was like, okay, that's fine. I'm a little late as well. And then he texts me. He goes, I'm out with a couple of the new guys from work. Things are getting a little crazy. So I don't think there's going to be a podcast happening after someone sends me that text. So I say, well, let's tape in the morning then, 7 a.m. I have stuff to do. I'm a busy guy. I got six kids. I have work. I have lots of things going on. So I get up at 6:30, 6:45, 6:50. I finally shoot Tim a little message. Say, hey, are you awake? 6:58. He says, yeah, in a couple seconds. 7:01, 7:02, 7:03, 7:04, 7:05. This isn't like a big deal. It's only 5 minutes, but it just, you know, it's concerning. The old Tim would have been up 15 minutes ago, clean shaven. Then he shows up on camera in a sleeveless shirt. Hair all over the place, just looking disheveled, like he didn't get any sleep, didn't prepare for this prestigious podcast.
Here's the thing. It wasn't the new guys last night. When I got home, I had to work because we had to run this data export that had to be run after hours. And this particular client had people in the West Coast, so they had to be done after 10 o'clock to make sure that no one was in our portal and no one was touching anything. So I had to be doing it after 10 o'clock. So I did it at 10 o'clock when I got back and I thought it would take 20 minutes, ended up taking an hour and a half and I was up late working on that. So that's why I was a little slow to get up this morning. It wasn't with the new guys.
I think you're fibbing and I don't know if you want me to cover for you right now or what's going on.
If I'm not your mom fibbing.
Here's the text thread that happened, and I have it here. 9:08, you said, what time are you thinking? I'm out with the new guys.
Yep.
And I'm like, oh, you're out with the new guys. So I give you an out. I say, well, would you like to do it in the morning? And right away, within 10 seconds of me writing that, you go, yes, 7 a.m. And I go, sure, don't stay out too late, Tim. And you go, the new guys are wild. It doesn't sound like you're working. It sounds like I'm out with the new guys.
It was wild. But I had to work when I got back. I just told you. I was working till 11:30 last night when I got back.
Then I said, work hard, play hard. Hopefully don't get arrested or COVID. And then there was no response other than an emoji saying, I don't know if that's going to happen. And then I texted you at 6:57. Are you awake? Oh my goodness. And now he's lying. It's the first step when you confront someone. It's first lying, denial. Then he's going to go to anger. I think he just went to anger.
I'm not angry.
Very concerning.
I was working until 11:30 last night. I'm telling you.
I'm not angry. I've said that before. My wife goes, "You're angry." I'm not angry. She's like, "Why are you getting so angry?" Anyways, let's move on. Let's move on, Tim. There's a lot to talk about. I'm actually glad we didn't tape last night because what a game the Leafs and the Blue Jackets had. You obviously didn't see it because you were out working with Captain Morgan on your project, Rum and Coke. So let's talk about that. Let's jump right into that if that's all right with you, Tim. Or unless you want to flex for a little bit, show me the guns.
Let's do it.
Hey, are you still doing the push-ups or was that a one-month deal?
That was a one-month deal.
That's it? You just wanted to look good for a month and then right back to...
It was just a challenge. It was fun. Let's talk about hockey, John.
Okay. Drink that water. Yeah, get some water in that body of yours. Get that poison out of there. Okay, so Toronto, Columbus. Columbus obviously works from the first game, 3-0. I talked to Gerbs. Columbus is doing well. They're feeling good. Toronto bounces right back and blanks Columbus, 2-0. So game three, it's a toss-up. No one knows what to expect. Both teams have looked fairly well. They've played strong. The goalies are playing decent, you know. They're playing good hockey. They're making the saves they should make. Toronto jumps out to a 3-0 lead. In the NHL, especially in the playoffs, if you have a 3-0 lead, game over. That's it. Lights out. There's no chance you should lose that game, especially if you're playing a team like Columbus, who, in all fairness, they don't light the lamp. They're not a scary team. When you look at their lineup from top to bottom, you're not just overwhelmed by offensive talent. So if you're Toronto, it's midway through the second period and you go up 3-0, do you change the type of game that you play, Tim? If you're their coach, Keefe, do you call them in during a timeout and say, "Hey, boys, listen, let's rein it in. Let's not play, you know, run and gun style." Or do you just say, let's keep going. Let's put the foot on the gas even further.
No, you have to play to protect the lead. And what does that look like for an NHL team? Like, how do they adjust their playing style to protect the lead? What does that mean?
Well, it's simple. A team has a certain way to forecheck. They have a certain style of play when they're in the offensive zone. Toronto is a very aggressive team. They're D jump up in the play. Their third forward doesn't often play high, which most teams around the league, they take a third guy and they keep them high so the D-men are active. Toronto, it seems like they just do both. Their D-men pinch and that third forward isn't disciplined enough to stay high. So I know Keefe's mindset. He's a very offensive, aggressive style of coach. So I know during a timeout, he said, "All right, boys, we got him right where we want him. Let's keep playing the way we're playing." And that's great, but it also just leaves you open and it leaves that other team a glimmer of hope to get that first goal, to get that momentum. That's exactly what happened. And it just snowballed after that. Seth Jones, Pierre-Luc Dubois, they took over. It was, I just don't understand it. Even after 3-1, you still have a 2-goal lead in the third period. You tell your team, let's rein it in. We're up by 2 in the third period. We should never lose this lead. So you just saw it. That Dermott, he's in the lineup because Muzzin's out. He pinches for the game-tying goal. Kapanen, the more glaring problem to me, Dermott is okay to pinch there. If you watch this, he's okay to pinch. Obviously, that's the coach's decision. They want the D being active still and being aggressive on the boards in the offensive zone. Kapanen has to be high. He has to be high. If you watch him, he flows. He's in the slot. He kind of hovers up around the top of the circles, and he dives in. By that point, you're done. Once Dubois gets a step on you, it's too late. And you have a 2-on-1 going down the ice with Dubois. Hall, he's doing a decent job as a 2-on-1 guy. He's trying to take away the pass. Dubois essentially has a breakaway and goes far side over the pad to tie the game. And it's just – it's too easy. It's too easy with the turnovers, with just the game plan Toronto had after going up 3-0. You can't do that in the playoffs, in the NHL, at this point of the season. If you win this game in your Toronto, you're pretty much going on. You're going to win one of the next two games. So, I don't know. And then in overtime, your captain, your guy who's supposed to be able to carry the load and not make any mistakes, and you're relying on him. You sign him to this big deal to change the culture in Toronto. You sign him to turn things around. The hometown kid coming back, John Tavares, turns it over. Being so flimsy with the puck, doing a nice little circle of how is she going in the offensive zone, near the blue line, giving up a two-on-one, giving up a breakaway. And by the way, where's the defense? It's mind-blowing to watch this team play sometimes. It's like, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? Get the puck deep. Get the puck deep. Throw it in. Live to play another day. You don't have to create every second of every shift, of every period. Like, you got to be smart. So he turns it over. They spring Dubois. He goes in. Backhand shelf. Game over. Hat trick. Say goodnight. Like, it was just unbelievable. I couldn't believe it. That's Toronto's game to a T. They run and gun, and then they don't have the horses to hold the lead, and they don't know how to play hockey. It's like a shinny game for them. It honestly is. I'm sorry. What do you need to say, Tim?
I think you're right. I'm curious, like, what you think as far as how much do you put on the players, how much do you put on the coaches? Because it seemed like it was a pretty glaring example of a coach who's brand new to the league versus a coach who's been coaching in the league for 20 years.
I think you have a coach, and that this is his mentality, and he will not change this. This is who he is. He did it in the AHL. He had great players with the Marlies, and they succeeded because he had a lot of talent. And the AHL is the AHL. You know, if you go up 3-0, it's hard to come back because the other team just doesn't. It's just the AHL. You know, they're not as mature. They're not as seasoned. In the NHL, if you make a mistake, you will pay for it. And this is what he did. He didn't change his mentality, and this is – it's not like Torch did anything. It's not like he told his team, all right, boys, let's go. Let's start running and gunning. We're going to be pinching. We're going to be jumping up in the play. They played the exact same way. They just took advantage of stupid plays by Toronto. And that's a big mistake by Keefe. And this is a big mistake by Tavares and some of their veteran guys who know better. Like, they know better. You shouldn't be doing that in overtime. Dermott, he's just doing what the coaches want. He's a young guy. He's trying to just impress them and stay in the lineup. He's like, okay, I got to pinch here. That's what the coaches want me to do. I'm pinching. Kapanen doesn't stay high. Boom, it's in the back of the net. So it's glaring. It honestly is glaring just how bad it is. For a person who has been in locker rooms, who has been around meetings, and I know people chirp me like, oh, you're just a goon. You don't know what you're talking about. Why should we listen to you? I've been in every stinking meeting around all these guys, every stinking video session. I'm smarter than – and I'm not just – all these guys, they're robots. You tell them what to do, and they do it. And that's what that Dermott did. He's supposed to pitch in that situation. When the puck comes around the boards, he sees his forward high, he's going. And that's what he did. His forward hung him out to dry and didn't stay high. Dubois picks up the puck and goes down and scores. Dermott looks bad in this situation, but it's Kapanen's fault. And I know Dermott will get roasted by the media in Toronto. He'll get roasted in the papers. It's Kapanen's fault and Keith's fault. He should say, no more pinching in the third period. Just suppress that yawn, Tim. I know it's hard.
So I think it's cool to see how Dubois is getting a lot of attention now, too. I mean, obviously, the hat trick game-winning goal is pretty big, but he's a player that was starting to get some national attention during last year's playoff run, and obviously now everyone's talking about him. He could be a big star for Columbus for years now.
Oh, absolutely. It's neat to see these players who you don't usually get eyes on, and they're just so good. And he is a big-bodied centerman. I noticed him in the D zone. He's muscling out Toronto's little forwards. He's using his body well, and he's fast, and he's got a good shot. He's a good player. I wonder if that played into them just kind of letting Panarin walk and not being so panicked about trying to keep him because they knew they had this stud just ready to go. Because he was good. And then even – here's another thing that was great about Torts. Korpisalo, their goalie or whatever it is, Kipakapa, all these goalies have strange last names. Like, where's the good old, like, just normal last names? So
Mike Smith.
Right? He wasn't playing bad. He didn't – the third goal he should have saved. I'll give him that. That Robertson goal, he should have saved that one. That was a bad goal. But yeah. Other than that, he played well. You know, a tip-in goal, a backdoor, whatever. Torts just doesn't even give him the chance. It's like, boom, we're going to change it. When you change a goal, you change momentum. It kind of gives your team a little wake-up call. He changes the goalie right away. Boom, and then they turn it right around. Elvis Merzlikas comes in. He plays great. He has a nice stop on Matthews, and then we're off to the races. I don't know why coaches don't do that. Changing a goalie is a tactic. It gives your team a little wake up call. We saw it with the Hawks and Oilers. We saw it with Mike Smith. You need to be able to change your goalie and not just leave him in there, because it can change momentum of a game. So another good move by John Tortorella. He really is a good coach. He really, really is. All right. Anything else on this you want to talk about going into game four with these guys? You think Columbus is going to close it out, or Toronto going to come back?
I hope so. I think the only other thing I wanted to mention, just you mentioned it real quick, the Robertson goal. Pretty cool to see the kid that's so young scoring a big playoff goal like that. A good moment for Toronto that was short-lived, but was worth calling out.
Yeah, and then again, where do these stats go? I still don't know. I guess I could maybe do a little digging, but is this like a regular season goal? Is this a playoff goal? Is this, they're going to have a separate page for like a play-in goal? They're going to do this every year? Who knows? But yeah, good for him. Get on the board. What, did it take him 3 games? I guess that's fine. That's okay.
So a couple other big games last night too.
Oh, so many games. And even the day before, it's just been remarkable. All of the games, and I want to get our predictions out and see where we stand, because it's just been thrown into a loop. Okay. Well, you want to talk about Calgary taking it over the Jets. They win it 3-1. The Jets are done.
Yep.
What are your thoughts? I don't know.
It's what I expected. I'm just curious now whether you have to put a little bit, I wouldn't say an asterisk, maybe that's too bold a statement, but obviously the Jets were playing without two of their superstars, and they were because of hits and injuries that the Flames threw at them. So they got to be frustrated by that outcome. They got to be, you know, upset not to have Scheifele and Laine in the lineup and not being able to put their best lineup forward in a way that, you know, they got to be pissed for sure.
Yeah, it's too bad, because they did have such high hopes. They did have a good team. And when you lose your top two guys, like, I know Wheeler's up there and Connor's up there. Laine's your sniper, and Scheifele is the thing that makes that team go. And not having those two guys is too much to overcome. Calgary's a good team. Talbot played well. I'm very impressed by his play this series. He, you know, he made the saves he needed to make. It's not like Winnipeg was getting grade A chances the last few games. They were overmatched. They had the first line, Ehlers, Wheeler, and Connor. It was too much. Their defense kind of folded, and I don't know. I was hopeful that they would maybe pull something together, like a Bad News Bears, like, we're hurt, we're going to win a couple games, we're going to, you know, get revenge on the hit that Tkachuk had. And you know, what do you think about the fight? Did you see that Lucic Beaulieu fight right to start?
I didn't know.
Yeah, I did not understand that, but Beaulieu asked Lucic to go, and then Lucic just used him like a punching bag for a couple rounds. It was very strange. I didn't understand that. It didn't really set the tone for Winnipeg, but maybe Beaulieu wanted to, I don't know, do something.
But Lucic has been putting up points too. He had points in the first 3 games. I don't know if he had any last night, but he's almost kind of back to his old self.
Yeah. You know,
which I said, if you remember that, I said that.
I know, and I disagreed with you, but he did. He had a good series. He was moving well. He was getting shots. He was, you know, in on the body. I'm all for it, but I just didn't see it. So you chalk that one up, and Tim is right and John is wrong. So Calgary moves on.
Yep.
Moving on. Have you ever heard of DealDash.com? It's the best, most honest bidding site where you can win things you'd never expect at a price you'd never believe. They have over 1,000 auctions every day on electronics, appliances, beauty products, home decor, and even cars. I need a new car, Tim. Big van. You got a lot of people to drive around. Now, here's how it works. It's like an auction, but every item starts at $0 and only goes up 1 cent every time you bid. The kicker is that auction clock restarts after just 10 seconds. That means every time you bid, everyone else has 10 seconds to answer where the item is yours. If you go ahead and buy now, Deal Dash is offering our listeners an extra 100 free bids upon sign up, on top of their other discounts. Go to DealDash.com and use the promo code JohnScott20 or deal-.fm/JohnScott20. That's DealDash, DealDash.fm/JohnScott20.
Sports are coming back, and so are your chances to bet on your favorite teams and events. Major League Baseball is finally kicking off this week, and there's no better place to start wagering than our exclusive partners, BetOnline. Check out all the odds, futures, and props to bet on, all available 24/7. And with the return of sports, BetOnline sat down with former pro players Eddie George, Harold Reynolds, and seven-time NBA champ Robert Horry. See what they had to say on what it'll be like playing without fans in a series they're calling Fandemic. Visit betonline.ag for all your odds and up-to-date sports news. Remember to use promo code BLUEWIRE to receive your new welcome bonus. That's promo code BLUEWIRE. BetOnline, your online wagering experts.
Penguins, Canadians, what is happening? Am I in the Twilight Zone? What's going on?
This is a really, really interesting one. I actually asked this on Twitter yesterday or the day before from the Drop in the Gloves account. And I just said, like, you know, why? What's the number one reason the Habs are ahead in this series? Is the price? Is the Petrie had some big goals, underperformance on the Penn side? And most, the answers were either price or Pittsburgh third D pairing. Jack Johnson, Justin Schultz just look overmatched. Even against third and fourth liners, they're looking like they're getting tossed around and chasing. It's a weak link in the chain, you know.
They need to get Johnson out of there. Like, the game has passed them by. It really has. Schultz is all right. He's not great. They need to mix it up. You can't have two guys who are slow and can't keep up on the same pairing. Like, you can maybe get away if one guy could and one guy could not. I don't like talking, because I was that guy. Like, listen, Johnson is probably, well, you know what? I might be faster than Jack Johnson, but it's glaring, like you said. And it's too much. They just look like a turnstile out there. And they need to make a change. They have some good D-men in the wings. I know they have Chad Ruedel. I played with him. He's a good little D-man. Throw him in there. Give him a chance. Like, he's better than what's out there, because these guys are costing you the series right now. And it's a very close series, especially when you're up 3-1 and then you let Montreal slip into it by getting kind of stuck on the wall like Johnson got. It's just, I don't know. I don't want to, like, pin the blame on somebody, because it's not just him. It's a team effort.
Right.
But it would help your game if you got a serviceable third pairing to even eat up 10 minutes. That's all you need. Just give me 10 good minutes, stay even. You know,
you can live with Justin Schultz being, like, you know, a little underperforming. He's never been strong defensively when he's putting up points, right? Like, three, I'm looking at his stats a few years ago, he had 51 points, and you can live with that. But now he's not putting up any points, and he's a defensive liability, so
you're not getting anything out.
What about Murray is looking a little shaky, like Petrie's goal from the goal line. Did you see that? Walked right in on him and ripped it over his head.
He just ripped it right off his head in the back of the net. Yeah, you got to save that. Any goal from the goal line cannot go in. I don't care if it's on the ice or up near your neck. You cannot let that go in. And for that to be the game-winning goal, it's like, come on, man. So do they make a change? Do they go to Tristan Jarry? I don't know. Maybe. Like, is it too late in the series to make that call?
No, it's only 2-1, right?
I know, but it's like – I don't know. I don't know if they make that change, but I think the biggest thing for me is Montreal's defense has been really good. They're playing really well. Ben Chariot, Victor Meade, Jeff Petrie, Shea Weber, they've been playing really, really good hockey. Like, Pittsburgh scored 2 power play goals last night. That's pretty much all the offense they got. And Montreal has been playing really, really stout defensive hockey. And it's just, I did not expect it, but man, they're playing well. And Carey Price is playing good. He's making some big saves. But they're playing good defensive hockey. So Pittsburgh, I don't know. They need to look in the mirror and say, what are we doing here? Are they just going for Lafreniere? Imagine if Pittsburgh or Toronto, one of these two teams, get Lafreniere.
I know. It's a broken system if that happens. That is no good. But
I love it. Oh, I think it's great.
I like the idea of those two being out in the first round.
Yeah.
Play-ins, you know.
Yeah, well, even imagine if Edmonton got – like, one of those three teams could potentially get – the number one overall pick. Edmonton, Pittsburgh, Toronto. It's unbelievable. So there's a little less than 50% chance they get a first round pick. One of those teams. That's so cool. Man,
I don't like it.
Fournier must be just licking his chops. He's like, I can go to Edmonton. I can go to Toronto. I can go to Pittsburgh potentially and play with these superstars.
Which team do you want to go to out of the three of those?
Edmonton.
Yeah.
For sure. Go play with McDavid and Draisaitl and those guys and just run and gun. I don't know. Well, let's get to that series right now. And what's the reason why we're talking about Edmonton is because they're down 2-1. And in another just shocking – well, I guess it's not as shocking as Pittsburgh and Montreal because people did – I picked the Hawks to win. So it's not as outlandish for the Hawks to be in this series as it is for the Canadiens to be dominating the Pittsburgh series. I guess dominating is a strong word, but be winning. So the Hawks won again the other night. And in contrast to the other series where the games seem to be tightening up a little more, not as much high scoring as maybe the first game. The second and third games, teams are trying to figure each other out. The goalies are seeing the puck better. This game just still, who wants a goal? Just throw the puck out, whoever wants a goal and go get it. And for the Hawks, it seems to be everyone. They have a balanced attack. They're getting goals from the first, second, third line. Their D is chipping in. For the Oilers, it's just same old, same old. Connor and Leon, you guys go and win the game for us because, listen, we got nothing else. Nobody. Nobody is going to score except for these two guys. And you're not going to win. They thought they had some depth. They thought they went out and got some guys. Ennis is out. Neal has been a ghost. That other young kid, Yamamoto, he hasn't done much. They got – who's the guy they got from Detroit? Athanasio? Is he even playing?
Yeah, but he's not done anything.
I haven't seen him at all. Like, he's just been a ghost. So all of these guys they brought in to kind of offset the heavy load that McDavid and Draisaitl are carrying are absolutely doing nothing.
Did you see – so – Draisaitl and McDavid have 8 goals between them in this series in 3 games. It's just crazy. It's crazy. I mean,
that's what they did in the regular season.
Yeah.
They that's why this is why they won't win. And it's amazing that they still put up these stats because Chicago, all they're trying to do is stop these two guys. That's all they're trying to do. And they still can't. They still put up 2-3 goals a game. And they still can't win because they don't have anybody else to put in any goals. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
Did you see the Kirby Doc hit on Ennis?
No, I did not. I heard about it, though.
I didn't think it was that bad, honestly. Ennis, he was coming. Ennis knew he was coming. He turned at the last minute to probably just kind of shake out of it and behind the net to just maybe try to avoid the hit. And in turning is where he put himself in a kind of vulnerable position. And I think it was a little knee on knee against the boards, but I don't think there's any intent whatsoever on Doc. And I think it was not a dirty hit. I think Ennis has been around long enough to know you can't put yourself in that position. I hate, blaming the victim, but I just don't think it was a dirty hit whatsoever. You have to watch it and check it out.
Well, he didn't get suspended. Was there a penalty on the play?
I don't think so.
Yeah. So it's not a dirty hit. It's just a hockey play. It's just a big man running into a little man, right?
People are calling it a dirty hit online though.
People talk so much smack. So listen, you don't go and read the comments unless you want to ruin your day because they're just like horrible people out there writing some stuff. So what did he get hurt, Ennis? Was it his head, his shoulder? Like, why did he leave the game?
I think it's his knee. His knee. Yeah.
All right. Well, it is what it is. It's injuries. That plays a part. Edmonton's going to miss him. He's a little firebug. I played with him in Buffalo. He's a good little player.
Yeah, I like him.
So this game, you know what I noticed was it's just bad defense from both teams. And a thing that I think is lost in hockey is picking up guys' sticks. When a D-man shoots the puck from the point, you're supposed to pick up the guy's stick. You're supposed to wrap it up, lift it, move it. No one does that anymore. Have you noticed the amount of redirection goals there's been in this round of playoffs?
I haven't noticed that, no.
There's so many goals that are getting tipped, redirected, shot passes, to the point where it's like, what are these D-men doing? They're watching. I think they're just so focused on blocking the shot, and that's the way people play defense now is they front and they try to block the shot, and they don't look at who's around them. They might put a body on them, but players are so good at tipping the puck now. I don't know. Like, even just in this game, there was so many tip-in goals. I'm just like, fellas, like, pick it up. Because all you have to do is just knock his stick a little bit. And then he's not going to tip it. It's not hard.
It's the easiest defensive thing you can do.
Very easy. You just lift it, you knock it, you give him a slash, You're not going to get a penalty, but no one does it. Everyone's so focused about getting out and blocking it and this and that. It's like the goalies are there. Let the goalie save the puck. Make sure he's got, you know, a clean path, and then take the stick away. That, I don't know, because there's so many goals from tip-ins. It's just – it's crazy. It honestly is crazy. And these guys are good. I remember in practice where when I switched from defense to forward, the first thing the coaches did were, like, get in front of the net. And they would get the D-man up at the blue line. They would just rip shots. And it's like, you got to tip them. And it's hard. But once you get – like – once you get a rhythm, like, you can tip them, and you work on it. And you work on going how wide I can go from the net to tip it in. And I would, like, there was some where the puck was 3 feet wide, and I would tip it, and it would go in. Now you practice that. So, and I was bad at it. And you get guys like Joe Pavelski, he could tip a puck anywhere at any time, getting cross-checked in the back. That's what he's, that's what he does. He gets the D-man to, like, boom, cross-check me in the back, give me a push, and he's tipping. At all times, I played with Andrew Brunette. He might have had the best hands ever. He would just tip nonstop. So, I don't know. I'm not a coach, but if I was a coach, I would tell my team, like, this is obviously a problem. Like, let's maybe pick the stick up and stop trying to block the shot. Like, we're not goalies. We're defensemen and centermen. I don't know. That just stands out to me. It just seems like, man, there's a lot of tipping goals going in. Anyways, anything else in this series? So, these two teams, they're playing tonight.
Yep.
Like, it's rock'em sock'em hockey. So we could have Pittsburgh's playing, the Blackhawks are playing, the Leafs are playing. Like, there's a lot of games going on today. It's going to be great.
Well, finally, this series is on at 6:45, which is good because McDavid and Draisaitl are doing amazing things out there, and no one in the country gets to see it unless you're in the West Coast. It's at 10 o'clock at night.
Yep. So
now the kids will get to watch.
We'll be able to watch that one. And it's just like, there's a game on in a few hours.
Yeah, I know.
The poor Islanders-Panthers series, they're just getting the worst times for games. Like, okay, we're going to, you know, work on the schedule here. Okay, prime time, Maple Leafs, Blue Jackets. Oh, we got to get the Oilers in there. They're going to have a good slot. Oh, Penguins-Canadians, we'll give them a good one too. Oh, you know, the Wild series, they're out west. Islanders-Panthers, can you guys play at 8 a.m. and be out by 10? Is that possible? We got to get you – we got to make sure the ice is real good for Pittsburgh and Montreal.
First goal wins.
They're just getting the shaft when it comes to the times. I think their average start time is noon for these guys, and no one wants to play at noon. You can't get up. You can't do a pregame skate. It throws off your whole schedule. It's the worst. It's worse than this because you're done with your game by 3. But I was texting with Brian Boyle last night or yesterday, and he's like, yeah, man, it's weird. I'm done. It's 3 p.m. and I'm done.
Yeah,
and I'm like, you guys, he's just like, it's so bizarre. I don't know how to say it. So it's just, yeah, I was trying to get PK Subban's number, which I got, and I texted PK, but he didn't respond. So I don't know if it's his real number or not. I don't know. I thought it'd be fun to get PK on the show.
He'd be awesome. He'd be great.
I got a few more rabbits in my hat to try to get that guy. I was his teammate for one game. I think he was on that team. I'm not sure. I think he was. Because I do have a stick. So I think that's where he gave me a stick. Anyways, so you want to talk about the other elimination games today? There's Arizona and Nashville.
I can't believe they're winning that series too.
I do. I picked them.
I know you did.
I believe it. They have a good team. They're good defensively. They're a good coach team.
What we haven't talked about yet is the Rangers have been eliminated now. Three games to none. It's really cool to see what the Hurricanes kids are doing and you know, firing on all cylinders. I guess the question is, Lundqvist, has he played his last game in the NHL?
No.
No?
Last game in New York, yes.
Okay.
I think he'll go somewhere next year to a contender who might have a little bit of an issue in net, like a team we just saw get eliminated with the Edmonton Oilers, potentially.
Okay.
It's a team like that, maybe the Boston Bruins, a team that is, you know, not as strong between the pipes, and they'll go and give him a chance. Heck, if the Edmonton Oilers give Mike Smith a chance, who's a good goalie, but he's no Henrik Lundqvist, they would be chomping at the bit to get a Henrik Lundqvist in there, don't you think?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
There's a lot of teams who don't have a solid goaltender, a true number one. They're platooning. So I think he would fit in nice in a lot of spots, and he would come at a low contract. So yeah, I think he's done in New York. I think he'll go somewhere else. Yeah. Don't you?
I hope so. I hope so. I want to see that guy win a cup.
So they're the only series that's done. So Predators, Coyotes. Let's just go through the series that are going to be played tonight. You tell me if the series is over or we're going to be looking at a game five. Okay. Islanders, Panthers.
I don't care. I'm going to say we're going to see game five.
Okay, you say game five?
Yeah.
Me too. Predators, Coyotes.
Yes, game five.
I think that one's over. Penguins, Canadians.
Yes, game five.
Me too. Oilers, Blackhawks.
Yes, game five.
I want it to be over.
I do too.
I think it will be a game five. Leafs, Blue Jackets.
I'm going to say over tonight.
Do you think the Leafs are completely mentally crumbled after giving up a 3-0 lead?
I think they have to be. And the fact that they have to play another game the next day is pretty great. I'm gonna say the Blue Jackets close it out.
Yeah, I think the Leafs win. I do. I think that is a benefit, them getting to play the next day, because they don't have to dwell on it. They don't sit there and chew on it for a day. They just get right back on the ice and they're like, okay, move on. We did have a 3-0 lead. Let's take some good from this. But man, okay. Vancouver, Minnesota.
I'm gonna say Vancouver closes it out.
I hope Minnesota wins. Just for the selfish reason that Al said he would talk to me after the first series. Stay alive.
Still can.
I don't want to talk to him if he's not in the bubble. I want people in the bubble, baby. No, I'm teasing, but gosh, that series is just who gets a shutout. They're going to win. I think they've had three shutouts, haven't they?
At least two.
The first game and then Canucks the last two. Maybe the second game the Wild got a goal in there, but yeah. It could be all of them done. All six games tonight could be done. And there's a lot of Canadian teams who could be on the brink of leaving the bubble. It went from, like, we have so many Canadian teams, like everyone but Ottawa. Then it's like, ruh-roh. Well, we've already lost the Jets. We can lose the Canucks. We can lose the Leafs. We can lose the Oilers. We can lose the, like, well, I guess we can't lose the Canucks, dude. We can lose the Leafs and Oilers. So, anyways, the two teams who people thought, oh, they're going to move on for sure. And they're like, oh, the Canadians will be gone. The Canucks are the, who knows. But anyways, Tim, anything else you want to touch on? Anything you want to confess to the listeners?
No. I probably will have a short day today since I was working so late.
No, I bet.
But no.
Yeah, I bet you will have a short day because you're so unbelievable. My client was in California, so I had to work late. And then he texted me, the new guys are getting pretty wild and we're out on the town. I was like, okay.
We were talking at like 9 and I was back at home at 10 on the computer.
All right. Well, get some rest, Tim. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And we'll see you next time. Next time we talk, there'll be a lot less teams in the bubble. And Tim will hopefully have his life together. One of those teams is for sure. One of those things will happen for sure. The other one, I don't think so. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. We'll see you. Cheers.
Bye, John.
Hey, guys. Thanks for listening. Make sure you're following the show on Twitter at @dropping_gloves for episode highlights, behind-the-scenes content, sneak peeks, and giveaways. Check out johnscottallstar.com/shop for merchandise, including T-shirts, hats, hoodies, and so much more. And please, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts. It's so important to helping us grow so we can keep delivering the hockey content and interviews with the players you love. Thanks, and see you next time.